Brother Bob, it's been a blessing for you to sit out there and watch that. Amen. A lot of folks never get to see that from their children, children and mama singing and playing for the Lord. And what a blessing. I had the privilege to preach at a sweetheart banquet last night. And that was a blessing, really was. Just the way my throat was feeling, it didn't seem like much of a blessing. I felt bad for folks that had to listen. But boy, it's important that you're sweet on your sweetie. Amen. Pastor Mayer told me a story this week about somebody who was, and I met with somebody else this week, and they said to me, "Pastor, I'm cheap." That's what they said to me. They said, "I'm cheap." And I heard about a man who was cheap, and he was going to a dentist to negotiate with a dentist. And boy, it just those two words, negotiating and dentist, they just don't really go together. And this man said, "How much to pull a tooth?" He said, $250. He said, "Boy, that is just a little steep. Is there any way we can lower that price?" And he said, "Well, I guess I could use one puller instead of two, and that'd knock it down to $200. He said, "Boy, that's just still more than I'm willing to pay." He said, "You use that stuff that you numb, you put those needles in, and Novocaine?" He said, "Yes." He said, "How many shots of that do you normally use for $200? He said, "Well, we normally use three." He said, "Well, how much would it be for two?" He said, $150. He said, "Well, how much would it be for just one of those shots?" He said, "Well, $125. He said, "How much would it be for just none of those shots at all?" He said, "Sir, do you understand that with no Novocaine, an infected tooth, we're talking about excruciating pain?" He said, "I understand. I just want to know what the price is." He said, "Well, we can do it then for $100. He said, "Honey, get in here and let this man pull your tooth. Amen." I said, "Well, amen. I hope that that person that came to me this week, and you know who you are, that said they were cheap, I hope you'll not be that cheap. Amen." Be sweet on your sweetie. Amen. It's important this time of year. Hey, listen, I know flowers are expensive and all those things, but you know what flowers say to your sweetie? "I love you. And it's worth it for me to spend a few extra dollars to give you something that brings you pleasure." Amen. And you remember that this time of year. It's okay to be sweet on your sweetie. Fellas, it's still right to hold the door for your wife. And don't collapse it on her when she's halfway through. Amen. It's still right. Amen. Still right. And hope you will do that this year. Be sweet on your sweetie this time of year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What a blessed chapter of the Word of God. You know, on December 25th, the world pauses to celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad about that. I'm glad that though they have put the attacks on groups like the ACLU and United for Separation of Church and State, have tried and tried and tried, but praise the Lord, Christmas has not budged. Amen. It's still a federal holiday. Amen. If it wasn't, we'd take it off anyway. But the whole world pauses to celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ. And as we talked about on Wednesday night, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is a fundamental of the Christian faith. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is virgin born, you cannot be saved. You cannot deny that and claim to be saved. Amen. The Bible says if you believe not that he's here, you're antichrist. You're far in the stead of Christ. It's just not possible to have salvation without that fundamental of the faith. You know, the Bible says that he came the first time. And can I say that between that time that he was prophesied to come and that he came, there was 700 years. And I think, Brother Horsch, during those 700 years that there was probably some people that said, "I wonder if he's ever going to come. I wonder if Messiah's ever going to come." I happen to think that maybe during that period of time there were some scoffers that said, "Ah, we've heard that for hundreds of years. He's not coming. He's not coming." And yet, on that beautiful evening in Bethlehem, he came. Amen. Thank God he came. as Brother Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate, wrote, born to die on Calvary. That day he was born to die on Calvary. But can I say that as certain as we are, and we know from the Word of God and from history, that Jesus was born the first time and came to this earth the first time, he will come again a second time. For the same promises that prophesied that he would come the first time, there are twice as many that say he will come the second time. Just as he promised to come, he promised to come the second time. And I know that there are those that make fun of and mock Christians that believe such a thing. By the way, they make fun of you and mock you because you believe that this book is inspired and errant, without error. Make fun of you about that. They make fun that you believe that God created the world in 6 days. You believe that there's only one way to heaven. You believe that a Christian ought to come to church on Sundays, on Wednesdays. You believe a Christian ought to tithe. And you believe that prayer really can move the hand of an almighty God. And that God can still do miracles when physicians can't. And they scoff at you for that. By the way, don't worry about the scoffers. Don't let them affect your life. They were around before you came, and they'll be here after you're gone. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Huh, sound familiar? Where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Verse 10 of 2 Peter 3 says. Look at some facts regarding the second coming of Christ. This event that we know of as the rapture. And by the way, that word is not found in the Bible. Rapture. Taken from the Latin word rapiro. Means a catching away. Amen. A snatching. The Lord's going to come and snatch away all those that are truly His one day. Some facts about it. No man knows when Christ will come back. Matthew 25:13 says, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. There have been many date setters amongst the ranks of Christianity through the years. I'll just give you a few. John Albert Bengel, apostate. He said the Lord was coming back in 1835. Then when he didn't come, he changed it to 1838. Then he changed it to 1866. William Miller said 1843 and then 1844. Michael Baxter, 1866, 1874, 1881. Later, the watchful 144,000 said he was going to come on March 5th, 1896 at 3 p.m. And then when he didn't come, they said he was going to come on February 26th, 1924. And then February 2nd, 1926, and probably most recently, some of you remember in our day, a man named Edgar Wisnett, who published books entitled 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming Back in 88. And then he published the book 89 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming Back in 89. And if you're dumb enough to buy the second book after he didn't come the first time, you deserve that book, amen? You see, I'd rather just stick with the Bible. That says no man knows the day nor the hour. If somebody sets a date, you know, I heard a man one time in church, a good man, sitting behind me in church. Pastor was preaching on the second coming, and you know, he said, Lord's coming back in 2012. I said, he may, but he may not. Foolish to set a date when God never sets one. Amen? Nobody knows the day or the hour. Something else about the rapture of the church. No signs must come to pass for Christ to come. His coming is imminent. That means it could take place at any moment. It could take place before we finish this service today. You say, how do you know? Look at the text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this, little pronoun here, we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, Paul here was counseling the Thessalonians. There was some bad doctrine that had come into the church at Thessalonica that the rapture had already passed. And he said, no, we are going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. They literally expected the Lord to come at any moment. The imminency of his coming. No signs must come to pass. Now let me just say in passing that the Bible makes it very plain that we have been in the last days since Acts chapter 2, since the birth of the church. But can I say, folks, if 2,000 years ago began the last days, can I tell you this? We're in the last minutes of the last days now. Before the Lord's time clock clicks over to 12 and the trumpet sounds, we're out of here, amen? There's Christians. But no signs must come to pass. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. One day, and oh, it could be today, bless the Lord. For years, I remember speaking about this subject, and I'll talk a little bit about it later in the message, been thinking, please not today. Not because of myself, but because for all those years I had a daddy that was lost. I said, please not today. But I can say in my heart, and listen, I know there's more to do. Some of you have lost loved ones and you want to win them and you say, please not today. I could say in my heart, oh Lord, if it were today, it'd be all right by me. If that trumpet sounded and he descended from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, that'd be all right by me. What's going to happen when the trumpet sounds? Our message today proper is on the rapture of the church. What kind of a day will it be when the trumpet sounds? Well, number one, it'll be a day of delight for God's children. It'll be a day of delight. Look at verse 16. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You see, folks, then look what it says. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine as God sends that angel to blow that trumpet? We had one time in Midwestern Baptist College, we had a missionary to Israel come. His name was Lee Fick. And Lee Fick brought one of those shofars. Anybody ever seen one of those? The actual trumpets that they use. And he blew that thing, and I'm going to tell you, goosebumps went up and down my arm. They were goose balls, amen. I don't know, they were like pool, you know, billiard balls, amen. I thought, one day every Christian's going to hear that. And I don't know what it's going to sound like, but it's going to be wonderful. And all of a sudden, we're going to be standing there, and the dead are going to start raising. Graves are going to start opening up. I imagine, hey, you're there, you're visiting that loved one that you've lost so many years ago. And I remember going through cemeteries and seeing different epitaphs. And I remember one that struck me so much. It was a large, I don't know what you'd call it, not a mausoleum, but a big, gigantic stone coffin is really what it was, above ground, about 3-4 feet high and about 6 feet long. And it said, until the daybreak. Until the daybreak. And we just sang that song, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. And I can't imagine what it would be to maybe bring a lady to bring flowers to that casket there until the daybreak, and all of a sudden to hear the sound of that trumpet and whoom, see that loved one come up out of there. Say, I'll be up in a minute, amen. Oh, what a day. It's going to be a day of delight for God's children, because the dead in Christ are raised. The alive in Christ are raised. And I use those two words, very important, in Christ. Here today, you are either in Christ or you're not. You're either saved or you're lost. You're heading for heaven or you're heading for hell today, one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory where you can get your sins purged. This book, listen, there's nothing in this book about purgatory. Nothing. So the alive in Christ will be raised, along with the dead in Christ. Those that are in Christ will see Jesus face to face. You remember when Jesus came to Thomas, and you remind me, one of these Sunday mornings, I'm going to preach a message called What You Might Miss on Sunday Night. Remember who was missing from the first Sunday night meeting after the Lord rose? Thomas. He missed it. By the way, the Lord may want to do something in your heart on a Sunday night. Even on Super Bowl Sunday night, Lord may have something for you special and you could miss it. But you remember that next Sunday when the Lord came and Thomas said, hey, yeah, all you guys, you say that about the Lord, that's fine. I know I missed service and I shouldn't have, and I'm sorry about that. But until I see the prints of the nails and until I see his riven side, I'll not believe. You remember what Jesus did? He came, he said, Thomas, put forth thy finger. See the prints. Put forth thy hand and thrust it into thy side. And you remember, of course, with Thomas, with that great confession, he said, my Lord and my God. God in the flesh. But then Jesus made a great statement. He said, Thomas, he said, blessed are ye, for you have seen and believed. But more blessed are they who have not seen and have yet believed. You know who that is? Us. I've not seen him with my own eyes. I've seen him through the pages of this book, and I love him. But there's going to come a day where we're going to see him face to face in all his glory. That's the rapture. That's that day that rapture happens. Not only it's a day of delight for the dead in Christ are raised and the alive in Christ are raised and those that are in Christ will see Jesus face to face, the saints will be with Jesus forever. Forever. There's no more pain. There's no more sickness. There's no more death. We'll be, look what it says at the end of verse number 17. It said, we're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know something else? We're going to be reunited with our loved ones that day. What a day that's going to be. Some of you buried a loved one a long time ago. Some of you, dear ladies, you had a miscarriage. You buried a small child many, many years ago. And that heartache has never really gone away. Oh, time has helped it and healed it. But you're going to see that baby one day. In this day, the rapture day. It's a day of delight for God's children. It's not only a day of delight for God's children, it's a day of disappearance of all of God's children. It's a day of disappearance. You see, every Christian is going up when that trumpet sounds. Every true Christian. Listen, long ago I learned that Christians go to heaven, Baptists go to hell. You say, what do you mean by that? Aren't you a pastor of a Baptist church? I am. I'm Baptist through and through. But you listen to me. If you're trusting in the fact that you're a Baptist to get to heaven, you're on your way to hell. If you're trusting in the fact that you were baptized in the Catholic Church, that you're going to heaven, you're on your way to hell. You see, every Christian, everybody that has truly been born again, is going up in the rapture. Can I say something else? Every baby is going up in the rapture. They're not saved, but they're safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. They're safe. Every child that has not come to the understanding of sin and what it is, they're going up in the rapture. I'd say this too, every mentally challenged person that cannot understand is safe in the arms of Jesus too. They're going up. It's a day of disappearance. Can you imagine? I know that I read 2 Thessalonians and there's a strong delusion. I wonder how the devil's going to spin that one. But he will. Just imagine that day of disappearance when all these folks disappear. Amazing. It's not only a day of delight for God's children, it's a day of disappearance of all God's children. It's a day of division for those who are taken and those who are left. You see, there was a series put out several years ago called Left Behind. Some of it's very good, some of it's not so good. But that phrase, left behind, is a tremendous phrase. You see, the Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verses 34 through 36, listen to it now closely. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Can I put that in our modern vernacular? Two shall be in the car, one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be playing catch, one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be working together, one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be shopping, one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be flying to Chicago, one shall be taken, the other left. Two shall be sitting in church, one shall be taken, and the other left. You see, there's only one reason why God takes those, because they have the Holy Spirit. You're here today and you're not saved, and you're playing a game. You just think, I can come to church and I can fool everybody. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling God. I'm so glad, Brother Kelly, that I was in the room when I got saved. I know that's a strange saying, but I remember. I remember what it was to come to Christ as a wretched sinner and to trust Him as my Savior. I remember that day, and I praise the Lord for it. Because I know that when that dividing day comes, I know where I'm going. I know it beyond any shadow of doubt. According to the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, I'm going with Him. Will you be one of those that's left? Listen, I have no doubts that if the rapture were to take place on a Sunday morning in independent Baptist churches, people would be left. People would be left. People would be left behind. See, it's a day of delight for God's children. It's a day of disappearance. It's a day of division. Finally, on this day, Jesus makes a division between those who are truly saved, the wheat, and those who have been putting on a show, the tares. Matthew chapter 13, 25 through 30, if you like to read that parable. By the way, again, if you're not saved, you're just putting on a show. You can fool your family. You can fool members of this church. You can even fool this preacher. But you cannot fool God, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro everywhere. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. See, it's a day of delight for God's children. It's a day of disappearance of all of God's children. It's a day of division for those who are taken and those who are left behind. Can I say, fourthly, it's a day of disaster for those who are left behind. Imagine, Pastor Mayer is driving his vehicle going back and forth to Indianapolis. And there he is with his sweet family. And he's driving along, and the rapture takes place, and there's nobody left in that car. And that car is heading down the highway at 60, 70 miles an hour. Well, Pastor Mayer's driving 55, amen? Amen. Just imagine, that is going to happen thousands upon thousands, yea, millions of times on rapture day. Just imagine that pilot that's coming in for a landing in Detroit that is a born-again believer. And I actually heard, I have to confirm this, but I actually heard that there's one airline where if you profess Christ as your Savior, they make sure that the co-pilot does not profess Christ as their Savior. I have to look at, I think it was Delta. I'll have to check on that. Don't quote me on that. Well, that says something right there, huh? Really does. But you listen to me, it's going to be a day of car wrecks and plane crashes. And here's that person that's getting ready to do that delicate brain surgery, and he's a Christian, and all of a sudden, he's gone. Day of disaster. Can you imagine people looking for loved ones that have been gone? Imagine the mother with the baby that's not a Christian, and the baby's gone. Where's my baby? Somebody took my baby. I can't find my... Have you ever seen a mother like that in a store? Two-year-old missing? I'll tell you what, they got the look of death in their eye. You see, listen, folks, There's a lot of great reasons to be saved. And I'll tell you, that's one of them right there. That's one of them. That there be no parting. But see, this day, it's a day of disaster for those who are left behind. Number five, it's not only a day of delight for God's children, day of disappearance of all God's children, day of division for those who are taken and those who are left behind, a day of disaster for those left behind. But fifthly, it's a day of darkness. For the world is now missing the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible. Go over just a page, two pages, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look what it says there. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That word let in our King James Bible, it's an old English word for hinder. It means to hinder, to restrain. See, there's the and if you look at the next verse, it says, then shall that wicked be revealed. Right now, that wicked, that Antichrist, is not being revealed. Why? There's the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. And can I say, listen, knowing what the Word of God says, you know who the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is? His indwelling of Christians. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But you listen, one day when God blows a trumpet and he calls all the saved out, you know who goes with us? The Holy Spirit. And then, listen, you want to talk about a dark world? Listen, we think it's dark now, where we read of murders and rapes and molestations and all the... Listen, folks, you imagine a world without the Holy Spirit to restrain? Can you imagine such a thing? But it's going to be a dark, dark place. Dark place for those left behind. For the Holy Spirit's through influence through Christians has been removed. Think of it. Until we read the events of Revelation when he calls 144,000 witnesses, no preaching of the Word of God. None. Oh, apostates will still be preaching on Sundays. Those who don't really know the Lord will still be preaching on Sundays. Many people will go to church, but no touching of the Holy Spirit to reveal right and wrong. See, he's gone. He has taken us. The Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. He's completed that good work, brought us to heaven. Man will be free to act out on every deviant thought that his wicked mind can imagine without the restraint of the Holy Spirit. It truly be a dark time, folks. That day when the trumpet sounds, it's day of delight, day of disappearance, day of division, day of disaster, day of darkness. Six, it's a day of a dictator for those who are left behind. It's a day of a dictator. Look at it, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We just read it. Only he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. In the midst of all the chaos, all the disaster, all the destruction, a leader is going to step on the stage and say, I can fix everything. Everybody's gone and we don't know how and I don't know what they're going to say. I don't like it when preachers speculate on that. It's UFOs, or it's global warming, or it's nuclear waste, or whatever the strong delusion is. We don't know, and we don't need to know, because we're not going to be here. Amen. But he's going to come up with some explanation how that disappearance happened, and he's going to say, in all this chaos, we've got to come together, and we've got to put aside our differences. And by the way, all those thorns in the flesh, they're all gone. Amen. That's us. Those ones that won't put aside our differences. That those ones that say, this is more important than what I think about something. We're all gone. And so, here comes this dictator on the sign. We biblically know him as Antichrist. He's the false Messiah. And he'll be far more powerful and charismatic than any leader that's ever come on the scene. He'll be able to draw people together. And he gives the world what it wants. You know what the world really wants today? Peace. That's it. And he's going to promise them a peace. And he's going to sign a treaty between Israel and its enemies for peace. And there is going to be a little bit of peace for just a little while. But then, halfway through that tribulation period, we know as the Great Tribulation, he comes and he commits the abomination of desolation in the temple. And they come on the scene and he says, either worship me or die. See, that's a dictator. That's a dictator. He comes on the scene, he says, you either receive the mark or you lose your head. That's it. That's what's waiting for people that are left behind. If you're here today and you're not saved, consider that, please. Consider that. It's a day of dictator. It's a day of dictator. It's a day of darkness, disaster, division, disappearance, delight. Lastly, still in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's a day of delusion for those that have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Speaking here, the Antichrist, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. Why do they perish? Why? Why did they not go up in the rapture? Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There will be many in that day that put off trusting Christ and being born again for a number of reasons. None of them good ones, by the way. But do listen to me and listen well. Today, God is merciful. Amen? Today, God is merciful. But I promise you that His mercy, it swings on a hinge. It's a door. In one day, that door is going to shut, and it's going to lock, and it's going to latch, and mercy is all gone. Now it's judgment. And listen, while the door is open, why don't you go for His mercy? Why don't you fall at His feet and say, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved? Because if I read the Scriptures right, everybody who has had the gospel presented to them after the rapture of the church will not be saved. Oh, there'll be people saved. There'll be people that have never heard, and they'll be saved. Multitudes, the Bible says. But if you've heard, and you've heard today, and you're not saved, one day God shuts the door and He latches it. You say, how do you know? Biblical example, the ark. The ark. 120 years, the Bible says, that Noah preached and built the ark, and preached and built the ark, and preached and built the ark. And then God said, get in. And he got in, and praise the Lord on this one, Brother Bittinger, his family got in. Amen. By the way, it doesn't make any sense to have a great ministry if you lose your family. Amen. His family got in the ark. And the Bible says that the Lord shut the door. And all of a sudden, all those people that had laughed at old Noah and mocked him, they looked up and they went, what's that? I don't know. It feels like water from heaven. See, the Bible says it had never rained before. Here they were. And all of a sudden it kept raining. And it kept raining. And it kept raining. I think it got to their ankles. And they thought, man, when's this going to stop? And it got up to their shins. And they thought, oh, good night. Man, our house is going to float away here. And then it got up to their knees. And those that had small children, now they had to hold their children up. Their children couldn't be down. And then it got up to their waists. And they thought, hey, that's right. Noah built that big boat. Let's go over to there. And he knocked on the door. He said, open up the door. Let us in. And you know what? The door was shut by God. You see, they'd had 120 years of mercy. By the way, don't be mad at God for that. We deserve judgment. We're sinners. Sinners without hope. Sinners in deserving of God's judgment, but He gives us mercy and He gives us heaven. Praise the Lord for that. But one day He is going to judge. And this is going to be a day of delusion. The Bible says that those, they cannot be saved. They're going to believe a lie. And I believe they're going to receive that mark. And the day that a person receives that mark in the tribulation, they are condemning themselves to hell. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to tell us? I'm trying to tell you that, listen, if you are not saved, stop playing a game. You say, if I come and get saved, it'll be embarrassing to my mom or my dad. No, it won't. And all God's people said, how much more embarrassing would it be to be left behind when God calls His children home and have no chance of heaven for all eternity? You're here today and you're saved. How about your loved ones that are not saved? When's the last time it really bothered you, where you couldn't make the bother go away? If not, would you come and ask God to restore that again, to give you that burden? You see, because folks, there's coming a dividing day when God blows the trumpet and all that are truly saved go up and all that are not stay. The rapture of the church. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment,